Okay. So, yeah, we're on lesson 12. We're going to try to finish out lesson 11, which shouldn't take long. We're just going to kind of hit it a little quickly.
Estamos en lección número 12. Vamos a tratar de acabar la lección número 11. No nos queda mucho que acabar, pero vamos a tratar de hacerlo medio rápido.
And before we get started, I'm asking Minor if he could lead us in a word of prayer.
Y antes de empezar, voy a pedir a Minor que nos dirige en una oración.
Our Father who dwells in heaven, sanctified be your name.
Gracias, Padre, porque usted derrama bendiciones sobre nuestro vida.
Thank you, Father, because you shower blessings on our lives.
Gracias porque nos da la oportunidad nuevamente de estar reunidos como hijos tuyos.
Thank you because again you give us the opportunity to be gathered here again together as your children.
Bendícenos y guárdanos en este nuestro lugar.
Bless us and keep us in this wondrous place.
Todo lo que hagamos sea conforme a su voluntad, Padre.
That all that we do will be according to your will, Father.
Danos entendimiento.
Give us understanding.
Para comprender lo que tú nos vas a enseñar en esta hermosa mañana.
So we might understand what you have to teach us this morning.
Bendice el hermano que tiene esa dicha de exponer lo que tú le has dado.
And bless the brother who's got the willingness to teach what you've given him.
Bendícenos a nosotros, Padre, abre nuestro corazón para entenderlo.
Bless us, Father, open up our hearts so we might understand it.
Gracias por su apoyo, Dios en el nombre de Jesús.
Thank you, and we ask all these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Without forgetting the communion of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Gracias. Okay, so in chapter 11, we talked about at the beginning of the chapter. The writer was talking about this great cloud of witnesses.
En el capítulo 11, cuando empezamos el capítulo, estábamos hablando acerca de esta gran nube de testigos.
And I made the point that it's not necessarily, you know, the idea that people are looking down at our every move.
Y no es la idea que las personas están mirando a cada movimiento que nosotros hagamos.
But it's more this idea of this multitude of people that have testified of their life of faithfulness.
Pero es más esta idea de esta multitud de personas que han testificado de su vida de fidelidad.
During times and maybe even worse times than they have.
Durante quizás aún tiempos peores que han tenido las personas de este libro.
And so the writer said the way we need to live our lives is we need to run our race, our life with endurance.
Entonces lo que dice el autor es que nosotros tenemos que correr nuestras carreras con paciencia.
And that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Que tenemos que poner nuestros ojos sobre Jesús.
And that we ought to consider Jesus and his life and all the hostility that he endured. Because if we don't consider Jesus, then we will become discouraged and weary.
Porque si nosotros no consideramos a Jesús, nos vamos a cansar.
And then he started talking about this chastening of the Lord.
Después, él empezó a hablar acerca de esta disciplina del Señor.
And he made the point to not be discouraged or not be not be discouraged or not despise the chastening of the Lord. But that in fact it was necessary for them to do this because God loves us and in these trials and tribulations we become more faithful.
Sino de hecho que era necesario que Dios haga eso porque Dios nos ama y a través de estas pruebas y tribulaciones somos más fieles.
If we endure.
Si superamos.
And then we talked about the fathers of our world, you know, how you know we don't always get it right.
Como no siempre lo tenemos correcto.
That we sometimes discipline or chasten out of anger, out of embarrassment, out of selfishness.
Y a veces disciplinamos fuera de ira o fuera de vergüenza o fuera de diferentes cosas.
But our Heavenly Father always chastens for our profit.
Pero nuestro Padre Celestial siempre disciplina para nuestro provecho.
Okay. And so we're going to move into the last section of chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. And I believe it was Cornelius that read that. But we can read it again.
Vamos a leer la última parte del capítulo 11. Yo creo que fue Cornelio que lo leyó el miércoles, pero vamos a leer de nuevo.
And so let's read verses 12 through the end of the chapter, which is, I'm sorry, 12 through 17.
Vamos a leer de 12 hasta 17.
In Espanol.
In Spanish.
Dice, por tanto, fortalecer al mando débiles y las rodillas que flaquean, y hacer sendas derechas para vuestros pies, para que la pierna coja no se desconduce, sino que se sane. Quitar la paz por todos y la santidad, sin la cual nadie verá al Señor. Mirad bien de que nadie deje de alcanzar la gracia de Dios, de que ninguna raíz de amargura brotando cause dificultades y por ella muchos sean contaminados, de que no haya ninguna persona inmoral ni profana como Esaú, que vendió su primogenitura por una comida. Porque sabéis que aún después, cuando quiso heredar la bendición, fue rechazado, pues no hay ocasión para el arrepentimiento, aunque la buscó con lágrimas.
Okay, so in verse 12 you have this image of this person who is, you know, lowly, down, discouraged.
En el versículo 12 tú tienes esta imagen de esa persona que está abajo, desanimado, como que se siente hacia el piso.
Right, and but the writer is encouraging them to strengthen themselves.
Pero el escritor le está animando que se fortalezca.
And this is a spiritual strengthening, right?
Y esta es una fortaleza espiritual.
And I was going to say, if Adam was here, he's a physical therapist, right?
Si Adam hubiera estado aquí, él trabaja en la terapia física.
So he helps people regain their strength in their body.
So él ayuda a las personas recibir de nuevo la fuerza en sus cuerpos.
After an injury or some kind of surgery or something like that, right?
Cierta operación o algo así.
And he'll tell you that if you don't exercise your body,
y él te va a decir que si tú no haces ejercicio en tu cuerpo,
especially as you get older,
especialmente lo más viejo que te hace,
you know, your joints begin to stiffen, you become weak, I'm not going to say atrophy, but you start to lose the strength in your legs.
Sí, las como las juntas de tus cuerpos se hacen más débiles, te pones más débil, empiezas a perder fuerza en tu cuerpo.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the image here, this person that's kind of lowly and down and hanging down and, I'm sorry, discouraged, but he's saying, you know, be strengthened.
Y esta es la imagen que la persona que está abajo, que está desanimado, que está bajito, él está diciendo a ellos que se anime o que se fortalezca.
In verse 13 it says, make straight paths for your feet.
En el versículo 13 dice que hagan recto los pasos para sus caminos.
And so there's almost this idea you have to be intentional in how you strengthen yourselves.
Entonces hay esta idea que tú tienes que ser intencional de la manera que tú te sanas.
Oh, we have to make opportunity to find opportunities to be strengthened.
Pero nosotros tenemos que buscar oportunidad para ser animados.
In verse 14 and to the end of the chapter, he talks about pursuing peace with all people, right? And so again, we have this idea of being intentional with, you know, how we live our lives and how we work to show Christ dwelling in us.
Entonces tenemos esta idea de siendo intencional en la manera que nosotros vivimos nuestra vida y cómo vivimos con Cristo.
And so it's not just Christians, it's other people.
Entonces no solamente los cristianos, son otras personas.
Outside of Christ.
Fuera de Cristo.
But 15 tells us it's we're really trying to build up our brothers.
Pero en el versículo 15 dice que estamos en verdad tratando de animar a nuestros hermanos.
Looking carefully lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God.
Mirando cuidadosamente para que nadie deje de alcanzar la gracia de Dios.
Because this root of bitterness can spring up and cause trouble.
Porque esta raíz de amargura puede crecer y causar problemas.
Right. Any questions before we move on? Any comments about this section?
Ciertas preguntas o comentarios en este.
As we wrap up the lesson from last week.
Terminamos la lección de la última vez.
Wednesday. Okay, we're going to ask this question.
Vamos a hacer esta pregunta.
Anything in lesson 11, does any of that challenge you to grow?
Algo en esa lección 11 te desafía a crecer.
Thinking about what we just reviewed.
Pensando en lo que acabamos de repasar.
I have a few things.
Yo tengo algunas cosas.
Maybe spark your mind. Well, I'll just say this. This idea of always looking to Jesus, right? You know, we talked about, you know, focusing our mind, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And perhaps that's not always the way I see things. You know, I'm not always fixing my eyes on Jesus because guess what? You know, we live in a world that's filled with all these external temptations.
Yo no siempre hago eso porque a veces vivimos en este mundo que estamos enfocados en estos tentaciones externas.
Yeah, and they may not be temptations that are bad, but they're just temptations that bring us away from God, right?
Y quizás no son tentaciones que son malas, sino que son tentaciones que nos alejan de Dios.
Right, and so that's what I struggle with sometimes, and I need to grow in that.
Yo tengo que crecer en eso.
Right. Any other? Anybody got anything else?
¿Alguien tiene algo más?
I got one more. The chastening of God, right? I think I talked about this in the previous classes. Like, I struggle with looking at the chastening of God as it's always for my profit. And in some ways, that's a fault of mine, right? But I've had times in my life where things weren't going as well. And I feel like I'm being faithful to God, but things are happening in my life that I think should be better.
Y yo he tenido tiempo en mi vida cuando las cosas no han estado sucediendo tan bien, y yo estaba siendo fiel al Señor, y pero por cierta razón las cosas en mi vida yo quería que estuvieran mejor.
Yeah, and when I look back at those times, 5, 10 years, I see God chastening me.
Y mientras yo miro esos tiempos, hace 5 o 10 años anteriormente, yo veo que Dios me estaba disciplinando.
And making me a better person.
Y haciéndome una mejor persona.
So it's harder for me to see that in the moment, but when I look back, I can see that.
Es más difícil para ver eso en el momento, pero cuando yo miro hacia atrás, yo puedo ver eso.
And so I need to do a better job of understanding that in the here and now. Right?
Entonces yo tengo que hacer un mejor tiempo en entendiendo eso en el aquí y ahora.
Okay. Anything else before we move on? Okay. Yes.
Dice Salomón en Proverbio 20 que la disciplina purifica el corazón.
Solomon says in Proverbs 20 that discipline purifies the heart.
Yeah, sure. So we need to recognize that too, right?
Sí, tenemos que reconocer eso, ¿verdad?
Yeah, very good, thank you. All right, let's move on to verse 18 as we move on to our next lesson.
Vamos a seguir al versículo 18 del capítulo 12 de Hebreos mientras continuamos en esta lección.
18 to 24 in English.
Del 18 al 24 en inglés.
For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it beg that the world should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel.
Okay. So the writer goes into he's going to compare and contrast two mountains, right?
El autor va a hacer una comparación entre dos montes.
And it is a huge contrast.
Y es un contraste grandísimo.
So he says in the beginning of verse 18, you haven't come to a physical mountain. And by the way, what mountain is he getting ready to describe? Mount Sinai, right? And tell me about the description of Mount Sinai here. What? Tell me some of the things it says about Mount Sinai.
Y denme la descripción del monte de Sinai. ¿Qué son algunas cosas que él dice acerca del monte de Sinai?
Era un lugar terrible que nadie podía acercarse ni tal vez.
It was like this terrible place and no one could get close to it, not even the animals.
Right.
Because you'd be destroyed.
Right. Yeah. Death, right? What about what it looked like? What was going on there, right?
¿Y qué era la apariencia? ¿Qué estaba sucediendo ahí? God was speaking.
Okay, God was speaking. It was blackness, darkness, kind of to add to what Alvaro said. It talks about this tempest, and what did the people want done in terms of God speaking.
Habla acerca de esta tempestad y qué querían las personas en cuanto a Dios hablando.
What did they want God to do in terms of His speaking?
¿Qué querían que Dios hagase en cuanto a él hablar?
Stop speaking, right? I mean, it was scary. It was intimidating.
Era temeroso.
People who came near the mountain that weren't authorized would be killed.
Las personas que se acercaban al monte que no eran autorizados lo mataban.
And what was Moses thinking in his head?
¿Y qué estaba pensando Moisés si era él?
How was he feeling?
¿Cómo se sentía él?
He was afraid, right?
Tenía temor.
Listen, the intercessor.
El intercedor.
The intercessor was afraid, right? Does this sound like kind of an inviting encounter?
No.
And by the way, Moses was afraid to approach that mountain, right? What about us? Without Jesus, how should we approach God? Without Jesus, should we be like Moses?
Sin Jesús, debemos ser como Moisés,
afraid to approach the true and living God?
Al Dios vivo y...
Yeah. Yes. Just real quick, kind of the account in Exodus 20. This comes from Exodus 20.
Rápidamente, de la cuenta de Éxodo 20. Esto viene de Éxodo 20.
In 18.
Versículo 18.
Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And people saw it, and they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "You speak with us, we will hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die."
El versículo 18-19 dice, todo el pueblo observaba el estruendo y los relámpagos, y el sonido de la bocina, y el monte humeaba. Y viéndolo el pueblo, temblaron y se pusieron de lejos. Y dijeron a Moisés, habla tú con nosotros, y nosotros oiremos. Pero no hable Dios con nosotros, para que no muramos.
Yeah. So, we see here images of fear, of death, of separation.
Vemos aquí imágenes de temor, de muerte, de separación.
But in verse 22, the writer says, you haven't come to the physical mountain, but you've come to a spiritual mountain.
En el versículo 22, el autor dice, tú no has llegado a un monte físico, sino a un monte espiritual.
You have come to Mount Zion.
Tú has llegado al monte de Sinaí.
Tell me about Mount Zion in the rest of those verses.
Dígame del monte de Sinaí en el resto de este versículo.
What does it say about Mount Zion?
¿Qué dice acerca del monte de Sinaí?
It's the city of what?
Es la ciudad de qué? Of God.
Yeah, the living God.
Del Dios viviente.
Yeah.
It's the heavenly Jerusalem and it's the feastal gathering of angels.
Good. What about Jerusalem? What's significant about Jerusalem?
¿Y qué de Jerusalén? ¿Qué significante acerca de Jerusalén?
What does Jerusalem mean?
¿Qué significa Jerusalén?
Yeah. So you have city, Jeru is city.
Tenemos Jeru es ciudad.
Peace.
Jerusalem es paz.
But this is the heavenly Jerusalem.
Pero este es el Jerusalén celestial.
And so in a sense you have heavenly peace between man and God, right?
En cierto sentido tú tienes paz celestial entre el hombre y Dios.
And when you contrast that with the physical mountain,
y cuando tú haces contraste es el monte físico,
there wasn't peace between man and God.
No había necesariamente paz entre el hombre y Dios.
What else? And I like the angels because you have people, you have beings that are ministering to you, as opposed to that mountain. On the first hand, you didn't get that. Good. What? Anything else? The General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn.
Dice a la congregación de los primogénitos.
Registered in heaven.
Que están inscritos en los cielos.
And so you get this idea of desire relationship, this belonging to God. The God, the judge of all, right?
El juez de todos.
And while this may be scary in the old covenant, those in the new covenant can approach God with faithfulness and boldness. Anything else in that description?
Just to the spirits of the righteous made perfect.
Right.
El espíritu de los justos hechos perfectos.
So you get to see the end of what we hope for.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you get the image of kind of maybe reconciliation, right?
Si tú tienes esta idea de reconciliación.
This these people being made righteous.
Esas personas siendo hechas siendo hecho justo.
In sanctification.
En santificación. Right.
Anything else? 24.
Versículo 24. That Jesus is the mediator.
Yeah, the better mediator, right?
El mejor mediador.
Not the scared mediator that's approaching the mountain.
No el mediador temeroso que se está acercando al monte.
But the mediator that is God and has conquered death.
Sino el mediador que es Dios y que se ha acercado al cielo.
Just a quick thought. In with Jesus, it's draw near to God. We're being invited to draw near to Him.
Mm-hmm. Con Jesús, ustedes que. Dios quiere que nosotros nos acerquemos a él. Como Jesús, nosotros somos invitados a acercarnos a él. Y con Dios en el monte había una señal de alto que decía que no entres.
Yeah, yeah, on the mountain and in the tabernacle, right? We had those barriers. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Go ahead. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay. Para mí es muy interesante porque cuando pensamos en el monte de Sinaí, después pensamos en Jerusalén, después pensamos en la idea de la asamblea de los primogénitos, yo creo que tenemos esta idea en como el monte de Sinaí fueron la primera vez que ellos se congregaron como un país, el pueblo de Israel. Después tenemos la ciudad de Jerusalén, que hubiera sido una de las primeras veces que ellos se congregaron como un país. Después ellos, a través de sus pecados, ¿sabes?, fueron echados de Jerusalén, pero Dios los congregó de nuevo. Entonces, él como que nos está dando varias diferentes ideas o imágenes de que este grupo de personas son el pueblo de Dios, que van a estar juntos de una manera espiritual y celestial para siempre en el lugar de paz. I was saying, like, I think it's interesting whenever you think about the idea of Sinai and then Jerusalem. Like, those are two very different time periods in the nation of Israel. But Sinai would have been the first time that they were together, congregated as a real group of people. Then you have Jerusalem, which is the first time that, like, David makes Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is the first time that you have them united. They're not just 12 tribes anymore. Now they're a country, they're a group of people. They're united together. They get cast off because of their sin, and God brings them back. He brings the assembly back to them. And so He almost gives you, if you want to think of it this way, it's almost like the different time periods of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And in each time, it's like God is gathering His people back together again. But this gathering is a spiritual, heavenly one that's based on peace and unity.
Right, right. That's good. Appreciate that point. The last thing it talks about is this blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel.
La última cosa que menciona es la sangre rociada que habla mejor que la de Abel.
Right, and so you tie that to Jesus as the mediator and the blood of His sacrifice.
Entonces tú unes eso a Jesús como el mediador y la sangre de su sacrificio.
You know, it speaks of, again, of better things, better than that scary mountain, right?
Habla acerca de mejor cosas, mejor que ese monte temeroso.
Any questions, comments in this section?
Pregunta, comentarios en esta porción.
What's the sprinkling, Michael?
Yes.
Just in the Old Testament, when they were saying the priest had to sprinkle the blood, I mean, everything had to blood on it. The books, everything had to have the sprinkling of blood on it in order to be purified.
Right.
Y cuando pensamos en la idea de rociar sangre, en el Antiguo Testamento todo era rociado con sangre. Los sacerdotes, los libros, los sacrificios, el altar, todo se rociaba con sangre para ser purificado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, 25 through
29.
De 25
hasta
español.
29, in Spanish.
Escaparon aquellos que desecharon al que los amonestaba en la tierra, mucho menos nosotros, si desecháramos lo que amonesta desde los cielos, la voz del cual conmovió entonces la tierra, pero ahora ha prometido diciendo, aún una vez y conmoveré no solamente la tierra sino también el cielo, y esta frase aún una vez indica la remoción de las cosas movibles como cosas hechas para que queden las inconmovibles. Así que recibiendo nosotros un reino incomovible,
tengamos gratitud y mediante ella sirvamos a Dios agradándole con temor y reverencia, porque nuestro Dios es fuego consumidor.
Okay, so he says, do not refuse him who speaks.
Entonces dice que no desechéis al que habla.
Why would he say that?
¿Por qué es que él diría eso?
En el monte Sinai.
Because in Mount Sinai they don't want to listen.
That's right. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, they didn't want to listen to him. He was scary, right? But now, you know, it's a different tone, right?
Pero ahora el tono es un poco diferente, ¿verdad?
It's a tone of inviting. It's a tone of, you know, acceptance.
Es un tono de invitación y de acepción.
But there are consequences for rebelling at Mount Sinai, right?
Hay consecuencias por siendo rebeldes en el monte de Sinaí.
And what was the consequence of rebelling at Mount Sinai that day?
Las consecuencias de siendo rebeldes en el monte de Sinaí.
What if someone wanted to cross the line and start walking up the hill?
¿Qué si alguien quería cruzar la línea y empezar a subir la colina?
Die, right? So how much more should there be a consequence for resisting God's greater work at Mount Zion?
Entonces, ¿cuánto más debería ser la consecuencia por resistiendo la obra más grande que Dios hizo en el monte de Sinaí?
Spiritual death, right?
Es una muerte espiritual.
Right. And so we understand that, you know, the physical death is one thing, but the spiritual death is something that's eternal.
Entonces nosotros entendemos que la muerte física es una cosa, pero la muerte espiritual es algo que se pierde.
Yeah. And what about you know, why should we, again, maybe another way to look at it is why else should we not refuse God when he speaks?
Quizás otra manera de verlo, porque es otra razón que no debemos de rehusar a Dios cuando él habla.
In relation to, you know, how his words, what his words are.
En relación a lo que son sus palabras.
Yeah.
When you're disciplining your son or teaching your son something, that's when he needs to listen.
Dígale, cuando tú estás disciplinando a tu hijo o le estás enseñando a tu hijo algo, es en ese momento cuando tiene que escuchar.
Because those words are what, if he listens to them and does them, are going to be what builds him up into what you want him to be and what he needs to be.
Y esas palabras, si él escucha y si él hace, son las palabras que lo van a ayudar a crecer a lo que él tiene que ser, lo que tú quieres que él sea.
Yeah. Yeah, and me as a father, and I'm thinking about this contrast with God's words.
Yo como padre me pongo a pensar en el contraste con la palabra de Dios.
When I'm disciplining my son and I'm instructing him, my words have power behind
them. Cuando yo estoy disciplinando a mi hijo, yo estoy instruyendo, mi palabra tiene poder detrás de él.
And God's words has power, right?
Y la palabra de Dios también tiene poder.
You know, by his words he created the earth, right?
Por sus palabras él creó las cielos y la tierra.
Just by his words.
Solo por sus palabras.
And my words, as I discipline my son, hopefully have truth to it, right? And so in that same way, God's words have truth. It's impossible for him to lie, right? And so why should we not refuse God when he speaks? Well, he's got power and he's got truth. Okay. Appreciate that. Emphasis. So it says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.
Se dice la voz de cual conmovió entonces la tierra, pero ahora prometido diciendo, una vez conmoveré no solamente la tierra, sino también el cielo.
What do you think he's saying there?
¿Qué piensan ustedes que le está diciendo ahí?
Because he also says in the next verse, by saying yet once more, the removal of things that are being shaken.
Él dice en el versículo 27 esta frase, aún una vez más indica la remoción de las cosas movibles.
But the things that can't be shaken stay, remain.
Pero las cosas que no se pueden mover se quedan.
Any thoughts on that?
¿Pensamientos sobre eso?
Well, here's what I think.
Bueno, esto es lo que yo pienso.
God is, he's shaking the present order.
Dios está moviendo, removiendo el orden presente.
He's shaking, and these Jewish Christians, they feel, they're a part of this shaking, right?
Estos cristianos judíos, ellos son parte de este temblor.
And God is shaking the physical, and the things that will be left behind are the things that God has made, and God's people will remain.
Y Dios está moviendo lo físico, las cosas que se van a quedar son las cosas espirituales y las cosas de la gente de Dios.
Right, and even in 28 he says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and that ties into what he just said. He's talking about this kingdom that can't be shaken.
Y eso que dice en el versículo 28, así que recibiendo nosotros un reino inconmovible.
Right. And so all the physical is being shaken.
Entonces, todas las cosas físicas se están moviendo.
But the kingdom that God has made won't be shaken.
Pero el reino que Dios está haciendo no va a ser movido.
Cannot be shaken.
No se puede mover.
I had wanted to compare the mountain shaking and the fire and the scary stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Una comparación entre el monte moviéndose y el fuego y las cosas temerosas.
To when Jesus was crucified on the cross.
Yeah.
Cuando Jesús fue crucificado sobre la cruz.
And when the curtains was torn in two.
Y cuando el velo fue partido en dos.
And the earthquake.
Y la tierra tembló.
In the darkness for 3 hours.
Y era oscuro por 3 horas.
So, I mean, that was also the shaking.
Yeah.
Eso también era un temblor.
Yeah.
And Jesus said in to Peter, on this rock, that's the confession that Jesus Christ. On this rock, I will build my congregation.
Y Jesús dice a Pedro que sobre esta roca, y la roca era el hecho de que Jesús era el Cristo. Sobre esa roca edificaré mi congregación.
And the gates of hell will not prevail.
Y las puertas del infierno no prevalecerán.
Yeah. That's a great point. Going back to the description of Mount Sinai, burned with fire, blackness and darkness, right?
Es un gran punto cuando pensamos en la descripción de Sinaí, quemado con fuego, oscuridad.
They begged God to stop talking.
Le rogaron a Dios que le dejara.
They were afraid.
Tenían temor.
And then we look at that image of Jesus on the cross, right? And we see a lot of those elements there.
Muchos de esos elementos ahí.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So this kingdom, why can't it be shaken?
Entonces, este reino, ¿por qué no se puede mover?
I mean, we can shake, you know, God can shake a mountain, cause earthquakes. You know, people can tear down a temple, you know, that's been constructed by men.
Dios puede mover un monte y causar un temblor, o las personas pueden mover o destruir un templo que fue edificado por los hombres.
Why can't this kingdom be shaken?
¿Por qué es que este reino no se puede mover?
Yes.
Quiero leer aquí en Mateo 7:24.
She says she wants to read from Matthew 7:24.
Okay.
Que cualquiera pues que oye estas palabras y las hace, le compararé a un hombre prudente que edificó su casa sobre la roca.
It says everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Descendió lluvia y vinieron ríos y soplaron vientos y golpearon contra aquella casa. Y no cayó porque estaba fundada sobre la roca.
And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock.
Pero cualquiera que me oye estas palabras y no las hace, le compararé a un hombre insensato que edificó su casa sobre la arena.
And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
Y descendió lluvia, y vinieron ríos, y soplaron vientos, y hirieron con ímpetu contra aquella casa, y cayó, y fue grande su ruina.
And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
O sea que si nuestra vida es edificada en Cristo, nosotros no nos importa nada que se pase, ni que haya pasado, ni que pase, ni que pasará, porque nuestra vida está en Cristo Jesús. O sea,
Rosa, cuidado, porque puedo decir eso. She said, in other words, if our lives are in Jesus, then whatever happens in our life doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's edified in Christ, and nothing's going to tear it down. Things that have happened, things that are happening, things that will happen, mm-hmm. none of it matters if we are in Christ.
Yeah. Okay. Moving. And that's. I think that's what the writer is ultimately saying, right? I mean, we need to be in Christ, and And if we're in Christ, these other things shouldn't be able to shake us.
Right? Yo creo que eso es lo que el autor está diciendo, que tenemos que estar en Cristo, que si estamos en Cristo, esas otras cosas no lo van a mover.
Yeah, because the kingdom resides inside of us, right?
Sí, porque el reino vive o está morando dentro de nosotros.
And the only way to shake that kingdom.
La única manera que pueden mover ese reino.
Well, I will say this. The Romans tried to shake that kingdom, right?
Los romanos trataron de mover ese reino.
How did the Romans try to shake the eternal kingdom?
¿Cómo trataron los romanos de mover el reino eterno?
Right. Trying to kill people,
you
know, sawing people in half, chasing them out of the city. That's how they tried to shake the kingdom. But those who are faithful couldn't be shaken. And I think that's a lesson for us. God, reverence and godly fear.
La reverencia y el temor piadoso.
It says, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Por lo cual podemos servir a Dios con temor y reverencia.
And he says, for our God is a consuming fire.
Y dice, porque nuestro Dios es fuego consumidor.
Anybody want to take a shot at explaining that?
¿Alguien quiere tomar una oportunidad de tratar de explicar eso? I don't know. I have an idea.
Okay, good.
I'm thinking about Mount Sinai.
Okay.
That the voice of God was so strong and so that it gave them fear.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we can allow ourselves to get close to God, we should also be fearful that we might will be consumed if we don't do what he asks us.
Yeah. So a fire can be good and bad, right? So if I'm out in the camping and it's cold outside and I have a fire, I can be warmed by it. It's good.
Si yo estoy afuera en un campo y hace frío afuera y yo tengo un fuego, puede ser bueno.
But if I put that fire right here, it's gonna burn the whole building down, right?
Si yo pongo ese fuego acá mismo, va
burn. Okay. And so this idea of reverence and godly fear, right? This is my example. So you're standing on a, you go hiking to a mountaintop, right? And you get to the very top, and this awe of God's creation, you look out.
Y tú miras hacia la creación de Dios.
And you say, wow, look at what God has created. We're in reverential awe of God.
Y te pones a pensar, wow, mira esta cosa que Dios creó. Nosotros estamos en reverencia de lo que Dios hizo.
But you say, well, I'm going to take a closer look.
So
I'm going to get a little closer, right?
Entonces me voy a acercar un poco más y un poco más, ¿verdad?
But you say, hey, dude, hang on to my belt.
Agárrame la correa.
Hang on to my leg. Okay, I'm being close. Hey, get my leg. Right? That's reverential awe and godly fear. Because we know that, you know, just like the fire, it's good. When I'm out in the woods and it's cold. But it can be destructive. It can be consuming. If used irresponsibly. Any other thoughts or questions about that section? Yes.
Sí. Yo solo me pongo a pensar en esa idea de que Dios es un fuego consumidor. Lo podemos ver de una manera donde tenemos que tener temor que Dios no va a destruir. Yo creo que quizás otra manera por la cual lo podemos ver es que nosotros estamos con Dios. Y si nosotros estamos con Dios y estamos tratando de vivir una vida espiritual, una vida que lo va a complacer a Él. El hecho de que el Dios que yo sirvo, el Dios a la cual yo me puedo acercar, el hecho de que Él es un Dios, un fuego consumidor, yo creo que por eso yo no le tengo que tener temor a cualquier otra cosa. No le tengo que tener temor a las cosas físicas, porque si Dios es un Dios consumidor, Él va a consumir esas cosas. Yo creo que es por eso que nosotros podemos tener gratitud, que es por eso que nosotros nos podemos servir agradándole, porque sabemos que Dios es ese Dios, o porque sabemos que Dios es ese fuego consumidor.
You can,
you're nodding your head like you're getting what I'm saying. No, I'll say, like, I just think that idea in verse 29 that God is a consuming fire, and I guess maybe this is a little bit of a different way to view it. In mm-hmm. Hebrews, he's talked a lot about drawing near to God, being before His throne, being in the presence and near God. And I just think it's almost like this picture, this idea that if God is this consuming fire, it's almost like if I'm close to God, He's consuming everything but us. And the reason why, like you were mentioning earlier,
yeah.
is we're these spiritual people. We're these people who come to Mount Zion, and I almost kind of view it on the opposite way. Mm-hmm. Instead of me being afraid of being consumed by God mm-hmm. and the consumption and this fire being destroyed, it's almost like because I'm living this spiritual life and I come before God, I'm not afraid of anything else around me because my God is a consuming fire. Those things that want to shake me up, those things that I'm afraid of, those things that want to bring fear in my life, I don't have to be afraid of those things because the God that I'm close to will consume those things.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he consumes the physical things, but like you mentioned
yeah.
earlier, like he continues to refine and keep those who are in him. And so it's not so much God is destroying you, but he's destroying everything around you.
And that kind of ties into this idea of not being shaken, right?
Sí, y eso va con la idea de nuevo de no siendo movidos.
Yeah, that's good.
Yo no sé si tú quieres hacer una comparación o traer otra vez como la comparación, porque yo creo que es una comparación entre el Antiguo y el Nuevo Testamento.
I don't know if you want to do a comparison or you're trying to make this comparison because Hebrews is a comparison between the Old and the New Testament.
Entonces, me recuerda el versículo de Hebreos 10 donde dice que básicamente si Dios fue celoso y un Dios que tenía que temerse en el Antiguo Testamento con las sacrificios con la sangre de machos cabríos.
And I think about in Hebrews 10 when talks about God being a jealous God, and they need to be careful whenever they were offering goat sacrifices.
Cuanto más nosotros, cuando él mandó a su hijo, que fue su hijo perfecto, que nos pecó, murió por nosotros, derramó su sangre, que nosotros, si nosotros cometemos algo y a veces a propósito, como le dice en Hebreos 10, o sea, el castigo sería un poco más grande.
And how much more us, when now the sacrifice has been his son, lived a perfect life, who did everything correctly and without any blemish, without any sin, how much more do we need to be careful of not falling into sin when we think about the punishment?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Moving in. Okay, let's go to chapter 13 and someone read verses 1 through 6.
Número del capítulo 13, vamos a leer del 1 hasta el 6.
¿Español?
En Spanish.
Permanece el amor fraternal. No os olvidéis de la hospitalidad, porque por ella algunos, sin saberlo, hospedaron ángeles. Acordaos de los presos, como si estuvierais presos juntamente con ellos, y de los maltratados, como que también vosotros mismos estáis en el cuerpo. Honroso sea en todo el matrimonio y el lecho su nacido. Pero a los fornicarios y a los adúlteros los juzgará Dios. Sean vuestras costumbres sin avaricia, contentos con lo que tenéis ahora, porque Él dijo: no te desampararé ni te dejaré. De manera que podemos decir confiadamente: el Señor es mi ayudador, no temeré lo que me pueda hacer el hombre.
Okay, and so some kind of concluding thoughts here of the writer.
Entonces, algunos pensamientos de conclusión por el autor aquí.
To kind of direct some of their behaviors. He says here, continue to brotherly love. And in fact, do not forget to entertain strangers. This could be strangers in the faith. This can be just complete strangers out of the faith. I think that's appropriate when we think about how we live our lives. And it says, by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, I don't know the implications of our lives today if we can entertain angels. But we know at least Lot, when he entertained the strangers, they ended up being angels, right? In Genesis
19.
But I think the idea is to serve and to entertain and to be hospitable. One thing I'll say about one thing I've learned is in life is as being a Christian is one way that you can stop thinking about how bad your life is.
Yo creo que una cosa que yo aprendí siendo cristiano es una manera que tú puedes
one way that you can what?
Stop thinking about how bad your life is. Or how bad your circumstances are. Is that you look outside of yourself. And you be busy serving others. Right. The more you serve others, the less time you have to think about yourself, right? And so perhaps this is kind of what he's saying. He's, you need to get out, be serving, be entertaining, be hospitable. And that would help build your character. Remember prisoners as if they were chained. Since you yourselves all are also in the body.
Como también vosotros mismos estáis en el cuerpo.
Who might he be talking about here? The prisoners in chain.
¿Quién quizás son los prisioneros en la
cadenas?
He talked earlier about them, right? Going and visiting people that have been imprisoned, right? People that have been taken prisoner by the Romans because of their faith. Right? Maybe if is that it? Okay. So we'll stop there. However, I do want to say one thing. Okay, so I'm going to do my Spanish now. Okay, so this is the last time that I get to teach this class. By the way, they did it a little early, by the way. It's a little early. Eric will be teaching on Wednesday.
Eric va a estar enseñando el miércoles.
So I just had a few words.
Entonces, yo solo tengo algunas palabras.
Okay. Ha sido un honor por ser parte de esta clase y poder enseñar a un buen grupo de estudiantes.
It's been an honor to be able to teach this class and to be able. It's been an honor. The Spanish got me there. It's an honor to teach this class and to be able to teach a great
estudiantes.
Number of students. Yeah.
Espero que se haya ganado mucho en el estudio de este gran libro de Hebreos.
I hope that you were able to gain a lot in this great study of this book of Hebrews.
He sido edificado por todos aquí y espero que nos hayamos acercado como hermanos y hermanas en Cristo.
It's your face at the end.
Okay.
I've been encouraged through everyone here, and I hope that we've been able to grow as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Gracias.